Hello, everyone. Very happy to see you again, and very happy for the Golden Goose earnings presentation for the first semester 2022. As you will see, we are very happy to announce our first half results, confirming our solid brand momentum and give us the confidence, you know, to continue on our growing path. Consistently focused on offering the best experience to our customers. On these five points that I'm happy to share with you, I will start with the fact that we are keeping evolving our retail experience through our unique co-creation activities. In June, we super successfully opened our first Forward store in Milan, our new innovative retail concept, promoting ways of extending the life cycle of product, broadening the co-action opportunities for our clients, and reinforcing the value of Golden Goose community. On this point, you know, I'm very happy for this achievement. I want to give you really the smell and the color because with this, and that's why, you know, I wanted to put it first in the chart, we are simply changing the industry. As you well know, luxury in general usually take care of top line, so selling. Nobody in luxury is really aiming into caring about the customers, giving service. In an era where NPS, customer acquisition costs, are becoming crucial, the fact that Golden Goose is gonna be the first brand ever in luxury offering a repairing service, not just on our sneakers, but on all sneakers. We can repair sneakers of Gucci, we can repair sneakers of Balenciaga, we can repair Jordan, we can repair everything. It took us almost 2 years to go in there. We really create the professionality, we created, you know, the scalability, we create a format that is absolutely performing even in terms of marginality. It's incredible. This is gonna be really a game changer, not only for the company, but for the industry. Sorry to take a little bit more on this, but it was really, really huge. Besides, we are of course continuously improving our digital offer, giving to our customers the possibility to have a smooth and pleasing omni-channel experience, including also the repairing. We started now physically in our Milan flagship, but now soon we will go on air even digitally, and then of course even in third platform. This is gonna happen, you know, later, and we'll give you evidence, you know, in the next meetings. We are then consolidating our wholesale channel. First we switch, as you remember, our top three wholesale customers to a wholesale model, which allow us to increase the control over the distribution and have more grounded and fruitful conversation with our final customers. We are also working to expand the program to other top strategic customers. We are rationalizing our customer base aimed at further raising the quality of our distribution. At fourth, we are increasing our efforts in marketing initiatives aimed at elevating Golden Goose in a truly global brand. We are proud to announce that we just launched our brand campaign in China and Korea, and we are very confident that it's gonna have a very relevant long-term impact on our brand awareness and our consumer perception. Last but not least, we are in the process to reach an agreement with one of our top supplier for the acquisition of the footwear production activities. It's a very super important step for Golden Goose to gain a strategic control of our supply chain. Last time, we discussed then about our brilliant results achieved in the first quarter of 2022. Second quarter results continue to be very bright. As Paolo will show you later, in the first half 2022, we generated revenues of 228 million euro, an increase of 36% over 2021, and well above pre-COVID level, realizing a growth of +92%. We achieved an adjusted EBITDA of euro 77 million with a margin of 34%, recording a generation of free cash flow of euro 32 million. In conclusion, we are very, very pleased with these results, as you can imagine, which allow us to take on the next challenges, or I would say, opportunities with enthusiasm and aiming, of course, to expand our brand globally. Now, I turn the floor to Paolo, who will walk you through the key financials on this amazing first half.
Thank you, Silvio, and hello, everyone. Paolo to comment what Golden Goose has realized in the first 6 months of this new year. As Silvio was saying, in terms of sales, the good momentum continues, with the first half of the year showing a growth of 36%, which becomes a 33% at constant exchange rate. Our plan to shift the sales mix to the direct-to-consumer channel is also continuing, reaching 66% at the end of June, up from 62% at the end of March. As already highlighted several times, disintermediating the market means, on one hand, creating a direct link with the final consumer and, on the other hand, having more control on Golden Goose brand. The overall marginality is confirmed at a very high level, with an EBITDA margin of 33.9%, and this, together with a virtuous management of working capital and investments, contributed to generate the 32 million free cash flow and to lower the financial leverage to 3.2 times the EBITDA. Last but not least, we have 132 million in cash, plus 63.8 million in undrawn RCF. On page 5, we look in more detail at the evolution of sales and EBITDA by quarter, compared with the same period last year. Second quarter confirmed the good performance of the first one, with sales growth of 34.34%, or 29.9 million, led, as we'll see later, by the US in terms of geography and by retail in terms of sales channel. Speaking about profitability, EBITDA grew by 42% in the second quarter, bringing the EBITDA margin close to 34% on a cumulative basis. LTM sales were 446 million, up 16% from December 21, while LTM adjusted EBITDA was 148 million, up 17% from December 21. On page 5, we analyze in further detail the sales development by region. Americas remained the area with the most traction, with year-to-date growth of 85%, or 45.2 million. In this area, all channels are broadly positive, with wholesale growing by 3.6 million and DTC growing by 41.6 million, of which 20 million comes from the conversion into concession of wholesale customers, such as Nordstrom and Shopbop.com. In terms of comparable sales store, the DTC channel is performing plus 29% in the area, while in terms of percentage mix, the region now accounts for 43% of total sales, up from 32% of June 21. EMEA is at plus 32%, or 21 million, and accelerated the growth recorded in Q1, with second quarter up 38%. The USA channel is in line with the previous year, while DTC is up 120%. In terms of comparable sales store, the DTC channel is performing at plus 90%. The only area in contraction compared to last year remains APAC, at minus 2.9 million, equivalent to a minus 7% on a year-to-date basis. This decline comes from a clear strategy of rationalization of the wholesale channels, minus 4.3 million, and the DTC channel that, despite the Chinese lockdown and the resulting drop in traffic in Korea, remains slightly above 2021, plus 1.3 million. Being able to grow by 36% with an underperforming APAC represents for us an opportunity as well as a growth upside for the next year, when the basis of comparison, of course, will be very, very low. Looking at the sales figures by channel, the trend seen in the first quarter is fully confirmed. Retail is strongly recovering after 2 years of COVID, while the digital channel, despite the reopening of physical shops, doubled its turnover in the second quarter. The wholesale channel, when normalized by customers' conversion from B2B to concession, is positive by 6%. Let me start with retail. In this channel, we went from 65.5 million to 106.6 million, turnover in 6 months, a growth of 41.1 million, 21.6 of which in the Americas, 18.6 in EMEA, and 0.6 in APAC, where pandemic management is still unfortunately very, very restrictive. The digital channel grew by 24.5 million, of which 20 in Americas, 3.7 in EMEA, and 1 in APAC. We'd like to point out that out of the additional 20 million in the Americas, 12.6 comes from the conversion of the Dosei customer to concessions. As mentioned earlier, the Dosei channel in total dropped from 2 million in 6 months, or -3%, but if we normalize the figure from conversion, the growth is 6%, perfectly in line with our strategy of a single-digit growth in this channel. At profitability level, all metrics are growing strongly. Net margin increased by 49% in Q2 to 69.9% of incidence at the end of June, 580 basis points above last year. This is due to a shift in mix toward the DTC channel and to a rise in average selling price, resulting not so much from price list increase, but rather from customers who prefer higher value products. Part of this higher net margin was obviously absorbed by the higher cost that the DTC channel generates, such as selling and distribution and G&A. However, it is worth noting that the adjusted EBITDA increased by 80 basis points to 33.9%, while the EBIT margin rose by 310 basis points to 22.2%, the latter thanks to a very, very prudent investment policy. Net working capital as a percentage of sales is still very low, at 1% of the total turnover, despite the planned increase in inventories, which is absolutely strategic to support the growth. As though the sequence of recent quarter confirms an incidence of less than 4%, we remain stuck in our guidance of a net working capital in the region of 10%, a figure that is well below the average of our other market players. In terms of CapEx, we invested 7.1 million, of which 4.4 in retail and 2.4 was in technology and digital. As for CapEx, in 22, we expect to remain at a similar percentage of sales as it was in 2021, I mean around 7%. In the end, growing without absorbing cash with net working capital, together with a very efficient investment policy, are the main reason of the 32 million of free cash flow generation. But to analyze the cash flow, let's turn to page 11. From a reported EBITDA of 77 million, we generated 64 million of adjusted operating cash flow before lease payments, 83% of cash conversion, and 51 million, 51 after lease payments, 81% of cash conversion if calculated on pre-IFRS 16 EBITDA. In 6 months, we produced 32 million of adjusted free cash flow, 21 million more than the same period in 2021. As a result, and as mentioned before, the net leverage ratio dropped from 4.0 in December 21 to 3.2 in June 22, thanks to a net debt decrease of 27 million and an EBITDA increase of 22 million. Net financial debt, pre-IFRS 16, dropped from 367 million in March to 347 at the end of the month of June. As a final point of discussion, we are very proud, as Silvio was mentioning before, to announce the signing of an important agreement involving the purchase by Golden Goose of 100% of the share capital of one of our main suppliers. The transaction, that is still ongoing, is part on the vertical of the vertical integration project of the supply chain, which is considered strategic for the company's future development. This vertical integration will not cover 100% of the production, neither now nor in the future, but it certainly represents an essential condition to guarantee the group's growth. The current owner and CEO of the target company will continue in his role. Target company is based in Italy and is specialized in the production of luxury sneakers. Approximately 75% of the production is for our own brand, while the remaining 25% is represented by the production of shoes for other luxury players. The actual production capacity is about 950,000 pairs in total and currently covers about 40-45% of Golden Goose requirements. The total value of transaction that is still, as I was saying before, confidential, but is slightly above 40 million and will be financed entirely from available cash. More than 50% of the proceeds will be paid at the date of the closing, most likely during the fourth quarter of this year, while the remaining part will be paid over the next 4 years. We now leave the floor to your question, not before mentioning that the current trading in August shows a growth of 37%. So also the third quarter is well on track to consolidate the good things done in the first 6 months of the year. Thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your device is unmuted locally. Our first question comes from Marco Gironi from T. Rowe Price. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, good afternoon, and well done, some great results, which actually leads me to a question. How much do you consider to be excess cash you now have on your balance sheet? Would you say that sort of, say, 80, 90 million is excess cash that you could distribute in a dividend?
You mean hello Marco, you mean what we are going to do with the excess cash after the transaction?
Well, yeah, so you have 130 now, you're going to build some more, you're spending 40.
But you know, Marco, cash is very precious. Then, of course, if we have the possibility and the opportunity to use our cash to buy a supplier like we are doing, is an investment for the future. But we are not planning any distribution of the excess cash because also considering the future couple of years with this economic situation, we prefer to stay safe.
Understand, great. And then just to follow up, because I may have missed it just at the end, did you just say that July and August revenues were up 37%?
Yeah, on a year-to-date basis, we are 37%. Then these sales are totally in line with the previous 6 months. Yeah.
Okay, year-to-date. And lastly, I may have missed the last quarter, but I see that Paolo's role is now Chief Corporate Officer from Chief Financial Officer. Am I correct that there's been a slight redefinition of his role, and could you explain it?
Just change of the naming. Di Presidio, ciao Marco, how are you? So basically, we simply update the name just because I saw the Chief Financial was a little bit, you know, not giving the right representation of all the things, you know, that are where Paolo is involved. So just naming, because substantially nothing is changing. That's it.
Okay. And so the executive team hasn't changed? There's no change in...
Nothing changed. Just the name. Because I think Chief Financial was just financial, which is not, you know. So this man is actually... taking care of much more things, you know, than just financials.
Good. Great. Well done, guys. Thanks.
As a reminder, to ask any further questions, please press star one on your telephone keypad now. Our next question comes from Luigi Alchisi from Allspring Global Investments. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Just a question on the acquisition and supply chain integration. I would like to understand the company producing for other luxury brands, that segment something you consider a growth avenue, or you may foresee to lose some of that business now that you own the company? How shall we think about that segment?
Hi, this is Silvio. So that's a great question. And first of all, I think probably it's also important to remember you why we did this. So first of all, it's not just Golden Goose looking for integrate suppliers. So the entire luxury is moving to this direction. Why? It's not just because of EBITDA. It's not just for revenues. It's just not for cash. It's not just for all the usual KPIs, but it's for mainly one reason, guys. No manpower on the market is available to increase your production if needed in a short time. So the very short offer of manpower in the market for produce in the factories is crucial for a company that is growing with the speed that Paolo was telling you before. So that's why it was super important to secure, first of all, the artisans, to secure the fact that we're going to be the first eventually not to put our incremental production on the production line and not be in a wait list, you know, with other luxury brands. So it's exactly vice versa, the opposite of what you said before. So basically these other luxury brands will pray us to stay there and to have the chance, you know, to produce their incremental demand of shoes, but we will be the one telling them yes or no, and we're not going to be in the position to ask someone else to be available or not to increase our production. So the achievement is much bigger than just what Paolo mentioned. You is really strategical. So this was just to give you the color of what's going on the production side, you know, in Italy, because remember that when we talk about luxury and production in luxury is Italy.
Thank you.
Welcome.
This concludes our Q&A and today's conference call. We'd like to thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines.